Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. I bet you get 30, 30, I bet you get 30, I bet you get 20, 20, 20, I bet you get 20, 20, I bet you get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month, sold.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hey you guys, welcome to Steel Wars. I am comedian Steel Saunders and I do love Star Wars. Please enjoy this classic clip, which is available in full at patreon.com/Steel Wars. A quick warning, in this clip there is some occasional coarse language, so if you are around sensitive ears or are easily offended, move along to another Steel Wars episode. This is not the podcast you are looking for.
Splinter of the Mind's Eye was that a book that I devoured as a kid. Any Star Wars at all was exciting. Even the holiday special when that was on TV, that was exciting. We could use any kind of Star Wars at all. That's how desperate we were for anything related to Star Wars. So to get to do covers for the comic book was just amazing. You know, it was a thrill because, you know, the only other person that had illustrated, painted Splinter of the Mind's Eye artwork before that was Ralph McQuarrie with the original novel cover. So
yeah,
so it was definitely thrilling. It was very exciting.
Speaking of that, you'd been on, was it episode 2 set?
Yeah, it was an episode 2 set.
Yeah, and you, when he told me that, when he'd been on the set, I was, blew my mind.
Hugh, that was the least excited anyone's ever acknowledged going on a Star Wars set. Yeah, I went there.
Sorry.
Yeah.
Just my way.
I actually remember when I talked to you at the Galaxy Fest thing a couple months ago, I mentioned it, like, in the 90s, like at the Star Wars conventions in Melbourne, I always saw Hugh as like the bad boy, the bad boy guest.
Really?
Like,
really?
Very cynical, would really in the panel say things that would contest popular opinion.
That doesn't sound like you at all.
And I remember he said this one thing about how he just got annoyed with the collecting mentality and the materialism. He was like, one day I'm going to come down and just, I don't know if it was a yak face, or you had some figure in still in the blister packet, and you're like, I'm just going to walk in and just open it in front of everyone.
I remember that, yeah.
And I was, that's sort of awesome. Like, you know, this little, you know, skater kid at this Star Wars, I'm like going, fuck, man, that dude is a badass. Like,
that guy's the Fonz. Check him out.
Did you used to walk into the room and go,
yeah, I used to do that. Yeah. Well, the laugh's on me because, you know, I did have a yak face figure and I lost it in a fire. So that's karma for you.
Wow, that's really sad. No wonder you're so serious.
Yeah. No, I've had a very dark, difficult life. I lost a yak face in a fire. What's that worth now? A couple of thousand?
Let's not talk about it here.
I'm not bitter.
At least you said you were just going to rip it open. Like, imagine if you'd said at the convention, I was going to come down and burn it in front of everyone. and then karma just came back.
Oh, that would be bad.
Well, I'm glad you think I was a badass and not just a wanker.
No, it was
like everyone else.
There's a bit of heavy wankerism going on in that statement. That was me trying to be above all the other fans. Like, hey.
No, because it was such a weird, I don't know, it was, I guess, being into things that brings all these different groups together, and the vibe of the conventions, like, there was just not thing, like, it was just not the vibe I'd normally be associated with. So when I saw Hugh just telling it how it is,
I feel that you may have inspired Steel quite a bit, actually, for what I know from Steel.
And because, like, you're one of the, you know, because, like, it was out in Australia, there'd only be, like, a couple of feature guests, like, you know, like Steve Sansweet might come out, or, you know, like, you know, one of the writers from, you know, one of the books and stuff. So, It was very impressive that we had an Australian guest that was involved in Star Wars. Like, that was, back then it was just so weird. There's like, to have an Australian involved in like actual Star Wars things that are going on.
So it would have been you. You would have been the only Australian, and the guy from the 77 New Hope, the TK421, why aren't you at your post? But he's the only other Aussie.
But he wasn't even getting, is his name, was it Peter?
Peter Sumner.
Peter Sumner. Like, he wasn't even like on the circuit then of, like, I didn't find out about him like for years.
He was busy doing bit parts in soaps and things, I think.
Yeah, but I'm not sure if it wasn't till like the internet or something.
This is before the whole convention culture and every person who had a line or two in a movie realized that they could actually do a convention somewhere and get paid for it.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was such a bizarre...
Before the floodgates opened.
It was incredible. They'd have these conventions like every 2 years or something, and people would come from all around Australia. And I was just, I didn't know anyone, but I was just thrilled. Like, and yeah, it was so different. And there was like, when people would give talks, you'd find out.
Yeah,
like,
it
was all first-hand information. Like, now it's sort of all...
Well, it's so different now, particularly with the two of them being shot here as well, that every man and his dog's... Ben, we've got another friend, you know, Rowan Nickel. Rowan Nickel was in episode 3, and he is, what's his name there?
He's Captain Antilles.
Captain Antilles, he is, yeah. You know, right at the end, and he speaks with Yoda and all that. And he was telling us about, because he's got a big scar on his chin in that, in the scene. And apparently what he did on the way there, on the day of the shoot, he cut himself shaving. I reckon he did a bit old, so he wanted to be Harrison Ford chin or something like that. But he cut himself shaving, and he was freaking out and went and was trying to like put makeup and all kinds of thing. Georgie boy saw it and went, "Oh, no, I really like that. That's great. Keep the scar." And so that's why, you know, the character's got this kind of like immense...
Okay. Was George Lucas doing his like classic Kermit the Frog impression?
Absolutely. You know how he always does that. That's an impeccable George Lucas, by the way.
What do you remember of those conventions and stuff? Like, was it weird... I'm kind of fascinated with it because it was very impressive to see you there. But was it weird to go like from a fan to a guest sort of thing?
Yeah. It is weird to go from a fan to a guest. Because, I mean, like myself and I guess a lot of other people who are a lot of other Star Wars artists working today, pretty much all of us grew up as fans with the first... I was maybe the first generation of artists or professionals that, you know, including people who made the movie, who were fans first and foremost. Mm. You know, the people that made the original Star Wars, they weren't fans. They were just craftspeople. They were just doing their job. Whereas everyone working in it now is a fan. J.J. Abrams is a fan. I'm a fan. You know, Ewan McGregor was a fan. It was sort of weird because you always feel like, well, I'm just a fan.
Yeah.
You know? Yeah, it is a bit strange. I mean, even last year I went to the German convention and met a whole bunch of... I was in the artist alley there. I was selling a print and met a whole bunch of guys there who were, you know, just the sort of generation below me, like by about 10 years. And most of these guys knew my work, and it was just weird to have these artists who are all doing, you know, really great work, professional Star Wars artists, and they're coming up to me going, "Oh, well, I'm a big fan and you really inspired me." And it's weird.
To hear the full episode along with hundreds of hours of bonus content, I would invite you to check out the Steel Wars Patreon page at patreon.com/Steel Wars. For just $3 a month, you get a dedicated RSS feed that easily pastes into any podcast app you use, sending the complete archives of Steel Wars episodes along with bonus Patreon exclusives like movie commentaries, Q&As, and shows like the Making Steel Wars show, which I make exclusively for Patreon members with Jason Ward of MakingStarWars.net, where we try to find the news behind the news. Plus, you'll get the bonus segments from the call-in shows, which sometimes can be over an hour. And as well as all the bonus content, you get that warm glow that you are supporting this show you listen to each week. week. The idea behind Patreon is if lots of people chip in a little bit of cash, that content producers such as myself can still keep producing for you guys while still being able to feed our very cute Ewok-looking cats. There's a hungry cat involved in this, guys, as well as some sweet, sweet content. Check out all the super fun tiers and all the shows you're missing out on at patreon.com/steelwars. And may that force be with you.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.